Hello, and welcome to a Waypoint Church podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to it.
This morning we're concluding our series that, if you've been with us, we've been going through over the last few weeks that we've called This Is You. And I hope you've been blessed and encouraged already, and I trust that there's going to be more as we continue with that this morning. As we've been going through this series, we've been rooting ourselves in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2, where Peter has been writing to the troubled, scattered church, wanting to encourage the church. And he's been encouraging them, saying, hey, God wants to build you up. Who knows, God wants to build us up this morning. He wanted to build us up last week. He'll want to build us up next week. He is always wanting to build us up. And so Peter's saying, listen, God wants to build you up. You are like living stones. God wants to make you into a spiritual house. And even now, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your challenges, God is building you. You need to know that, church, that God is building you in the midst of these difficult times. And he is building his church. And I'm going to tell you, come on, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against what God is building. And as he writes to them, he is calling out of them their God-given identity. We're going to read what has been our central theme passage through this series, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Peter writes this. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, Peter's saying, come on, church, I want to help lift your heads. I want to help enlarge your perspective. I want to help you set your sights on things above. I want to remind you, church, this is you. This is who you are. This is God's vision for your life. And in recent weeks, we've been drawing on Peter's encouragement to the church. We've been trying to remind ourselves that we are a chosen people. We are a chosen people, chosen by God, not on the basis of any great things we've done or any qualifications we have, but chosen in love by grace. And for a reason. We've been reminding ourselves that we too are a royal priesthood, called by God to be spiritual kings and priests in his household, co-heirs with Christ who are ruling and reigning with Christ. And last week we were reminding ourselves that we are a holy nation. We are called to be set apart, to be holy, because God is holy. And this morning I want to try and help draw things together in this series and pick up on this fourth phrase that Peter uses in his encouragement, where he says, you are God's special possession. Now, I wonder this morning what might come to mind if you were to try to think of a special possession. Maybe your mind starts to turn towards that favorite thing, that thing that you love so dearly that you would feel lost without it. Maybe your mind turns towards some kind of keepsake that is special to you because of the memories that it holds. Maybe your mind would turn towards some kind of family heirloom that is special because of who gave it to you or who it belonged to. Or maybe your mind, if you're fortuitous enough to have perhaps something like an antique, a priceless antique in your household that's special because of the irreplaceable history that it might hold as well as its value. For me, I was racking my brains on this question. I was thinking, what? Zoe and I are not massively like precious people when it comes to things. And I was thinking, what precious, special possessions do I have? And my mind first went to my wedding ring. And I was like, well, you know what? What this represents in my marriage to Zoe is very, very special. But truth be told, I could wear another ring. I'm not specifically attached to this one. If I lost it, well, it's a little bit inconvenient, but I could buy another one that would represent what is special to me. And so I thought a little bit harder, and I thought, what special possession do I have? And do you know what I came up with? I came up with a TK Maxx voucher for £20. I'm not even joking. In fact, it's not even just a TK Maxx voucher for £20. It's a defunct TK Maxx voucher for £20 that has already been spent, but I still have it. And the reason that this TK Maxx voucher is a special possession is that many, many years ago, when God first called me out of my working life into ministry, when I was volunteering to start with reaching and serving students in a voluntary capacity in the city of Portsmouth, I was talking to my mum and I was saying, "Mama, I want to learn more about how to trust God to provide for my needs. I'm giving everything. I'm giving all of my time. I'm not earning any money, and I'm just reaching and I'm serving students. I want to learn more about how to trust God to meet me and to provide for my needs." And my mum asked me this question. She said, "Well, what do you need? Can you think of one small thing that you need, and we'll just pray about it?" And so I thought, and I said, "Well, do you know what? There's one thing I do. I genuinely really need it. I do need a new pair of shoes. My shoes have got holes all over them such that when I walk down the road, my socks get wet. I genuinely do need a new pair of shoes." And my mum said to me, "Well, why don't we just, we'll pray about it. We won't tell anybody else. Just you and me, we'll commit to praying about this every day." And a couple of weeks later, I was hosting a student event. And without a student event at our church, without my knowing, loads of the students had got together and they'd raised some money and they gave me this gift to support me in the voluntary ministry that I was running. And aside from the monetary gift that they gave me this TK Maxx voucher for £20, and on it was written, "Go and get yourself a new pair of shoes." Go and get yourself a new pair of shoes. So I took this TK Maxx voucher, and I went into TK Maxx, and I kid you not, the first pair of shoes that I laid my eyes on, I thought, "Oh, they look nice." I picked them up. They were my size, and TK Maxx doesn't have the full range of sizes. They were my size, and they were £20. And I went and I spent that voucher. And so I still have that defunct spent voucher, because that voucher is special to me. It's a reminder to me of the faithfulness of God. It's a reminder to me of that special answer to prayer. It's also a reminder to me of this season in my life where I was growing in my understanding of my God-given identity as a son to a father who knows my needs before I even ask and wants to bless me. And so I have that voucher, and that voucher is special to me. The question this morning is, what makes you and what makes me God's special possession? And to help us open up that question, I want to return to the illustration of what my wedding ring represents. Now, this is, please understand, this is not a message about marriage or relationships per se this morning. This is an illustration, and I hope whether we are married or single that we will be able to appreciate the significance of the illustration this morning. I'm going to talk about it personally from the sense of my marriage, but you may be able to apply it to your marriage or people that you know that are married this morning. Now, you see, to use Peter's language that we read earlier, there was a time where Zoe and I were not a people. There was a time where we were not a people, but now we are a people. We are a couple. We are a family. Something changed along the journey of our life that formed us and made us into a people. We got married. And when we got married, in particular, I mean, there are lots of things, but in particular, there are three things that I want to suggest that we gave to each other. That we gave each other a special place in each other's lives. That we gave each other special promises for our lives, and that we gave each other a special purpose. There was a time where we had not received any of those things, but now we have received and we continue to receive those things, and now we are a people. And with that illustration in mind, I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Now, commentators, when they look at Peter writing, "You are God's special possession," they draw parallels with what Isaiah writes in chapter 43. And it's an amazing passage. And it really is a powerful picture of God's heart for his people. So we're going to read it from verse 1 through to verse 7. Here's what Isaiah writes. He says, "But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." I mean, wow, right? Like, what a passage that is. Can you hear the heart of the Father towards his people in what Isaiah's writing? Can you hear this morning the value, the extent of the value and the significance that Isaiah is communicating? Now, I know that as Isaiah begins to write, he addresses this to Jacob. You know, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, Jacob, who was renamed by God Israel. I know he's addressing it to Jacob and addressing it to the nation of Israel that came from Jacob as well. But I want to remind us this morning, Galatians 3 verse 7 says this. It says, "Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham." So this that Isaiah is writing, this right here, this is you. And this is me. This is us. This is the heart of God for all those who have faith. And I want to suggest this morning that like that picture of a marriage, you are God's special possession. I am God's special possession this morning. Firstly, because you and I, we've been given a special place. You know, of all of the people in my life, Zoe is special. She's special for many reasons. But of all the people in my life, Zoe is special because she's the only one that's my wife. She has a special place in my life, and she has that special place because she chose very bravely, I might add, to say yes. She chose to say, "I am yours." And as Isaiah relays the heart of God for you and for me, as well as Jacob and Israel, verse 1, we read him saying, "I created you. I formed you, I redeemed you, I have called you to be mine, to be mine." Verse 3, we read that he says, "I ransomed you, I delivered you, I rescued you, I freed you." He said, come on, remember, Israel, that there was a time where you were slaves in Egypt. And I made you into a nation. When you needed protecting, I moved the sea to make a way. When you needed guiding, I gave you a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire to show the way. When you needed sustaining, I gave you manna from heaven and water out of a rock along the way. See, this is who I am. This is who I am, and I want to be your God. We read it. I want to be your Savior. I just want a people. You hear the heart of God? I want a people that I can call mine. A people that I can call my own. In verse 6, we hear Isaiah writing and saying, look, God wants to call his people back to that special place of living as sons and daughters in his house. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 writes about this, and he says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we would be called children of God, and that is what we are. So you are God's special possession. I am God's special possession this morning because we've been given a special place, but also, secondly, because we've been given a special promise. You know, among all of the relationships in my life, my relationship with Zoe is special. And it is special because of the promises that define our relationship. When we got married, we entered into a covenant relationship. We made promises. We made vows to one another. Promises that apply uniquely to the context of our marriage relationship. And it makes that relationship special. And as we read Isaiah relaying the heart of God for his people, we find it packed full of promises. Verse 2 to 4, I don't know if you caught them, but he says, I will be with you. He says, rivers will not sweep over you. He says, fire will not burn you. He says, I will ransom you. He says, I will give nations in exchange for your life. Even in those few verses, we see promises of God's presence, of his protection, of his freedom, and of his redemption. If we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter says this. He says, God has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we might participate in the divine nature. See, who knows this morning that God never wanted a contractual relationship with us? Do we know that this morning? God has never wanted a contractual relationship with us that is defined by legal terms and conditions. But he has always wanted a covenant relationship with us that is defined by the greatness of his promises, not even defined by our ability to tick boxes of legal terms and conditions. A relationship founded on the greatness of his promises. Promises that give a basis for us to participate in divine relationship and to participate in the things of heaven. So thirdly this morning, you are and I am God's special possession because we've been given a special place. We've been given a special promise, but we've also been given a special purpose. Now again, returning to the example of marriage, when Zoe and I got married, we didn't just enter into a covenant relationship, we entered into a special partnership. We entered into a partnership that was made special by the purposes that we share together, by the unique goals and responsibilities and purposes that we collaborate on in life. As husband and wife, We work together to build a life and to build a home and to raise children in a way that is unique to our marriage partnership. And as Isaiah relays the heart of the Father to us, verse 7, we heard him saying, I have called you by name, created you for my glory, for a reason. If we read on to verse 10, we would read Isaiah writing this, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. You know, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians the church there, he's reminding them, saying in 2 Corinthians 6, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. You know, don't receive it in vain. Instead, receive God's grace in order that we might work together with God. God wants a people who will partner with him for the sake of building his kingdom and outworking his mission, living his mission together. You know, as I consider God's special possession, I'm reminded. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that there was a joy. There was a joy that was set before Jesus. Right up to the moment, right through the moment where he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the Father, there was a joy set before Jesus. I find myself picturing this conversation happening in heaven. And this is my imagining of things. This is my translating of things. But I find myself imagining this conversation in heaven between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I imagine it going something like this. Hey Jesus, if you would go to the cross. Jesus, I know it looks tough, but if you would go to the cross, we can give them a special place as chosen sons and daughters. Hey, Jesus, if you would go to the cross, we can give them a special promise as a holy nation, as a covenant people. Hey, Jesus, if you would go to the cross, we can give them a special purpose as a royal priesthood, as kings and priests together with Christ. Hey, Jesus, here's the vision. A people knowing their divine place. A people knowing their divine promises, a people knowing their divine purposes, a people that we could call our own. Can you see it, Jesus? I'll be honest with you, I know it's a risk. I know it's a risk because the reality, Jesus, is they might not receive it. That they might not take it up. But Jesus, can you see the reward? Can you see the potential reward here? And I picture Jesus in this conversation. Not that he's being persuaded. I mean, he's one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But I picture Jesus in this moment looking at you and looking at me, and looking at the cross and looking back at you and saying, wow, that is special. That is so, so special. I'm in. I'm all in. Great plan, guys. I am all in. This is worth it. This is worth it. You are worth it. The prospect of you and me becoming God's special possession, it is totally worth it. Totally worth it. And as Isaiah relays the heart of God for his people, verse 6, we heard the heart of the Father coming through saying, give them up. Give them up. Do not hold them back. Bring back my sons. Bring back my daughters from afar. Just like the Lord said to Pharaoh through Moses, let my people go. I will deliver, I will release, I will set free. Let neither the north nor the south nor the ends of the earth hold back those I have created, those I have formed from living as sons and daughters in my house. Because let me tell you, there is no height and there is no depth and there is no principality and there is no power, Rachel said earlier, that can separate us from the lavish love of God in Jesus. And you know, scattered through the pages of history, sometimes we find special people. Special people like Jacob that Isaiah directly addresses, who receive what God is gifting to them. Sometimes we find in the pages of history special people like Jacob who eagerly desire that place of blessing. The place of blessing that his brother Esau had despised as the firstborn son. Sometimes we find special people like Jacob who heard about God's great promises that had been spoken to his grandfather and to his father, but then were spoken to him. We find people like Jacob who hear for themselves this invitation to covenant relationship. Genesis 28, we looked at it a number of weeks back. But Jacob, as he hears these promises and he hears this invitation to covenant, he says, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. If God will look after me, if God will watch over me, if God will provide for me, do you know what? I'm going to make my own special vow to God. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say to the Lord, you're going to be my God. Sometimes we find special people like Jacob, who in Genesis 32 contend, wrestle for the blessing of God. In spite of whatever else might be going on, he wrestled and he contended to the point where it changed his life forever. It changed the way he walked, probably the places he liked to walk, probably the way he wanted people to see him walk. It changed everything about the way that he walked, because he wrestled for that blessing. And in that wrestling, the Lord renamed him and he called him Israel, a prince with God, a king and a priest, ruling and reigning with Christ. Maybe the worship team can come up. See, as we consider Jacob, isn't Jacob an amazing picture of what God's special possession looks like? A brilliant picture of what it looks like to be God's special possession, to receive the special things that he's given to us. Isn't he a great example of what God looks for from each and every one of us as he calls us to be his special possession too? Isn't it what God is looking for, a people who are eagerly desiring, who are saying yes, who are devoting themselves to the purposes of God, contending for the blessings of God? Doesn't it look like us being those who are receiving a special place, receiving a special promise, and receiving a special purpose, and in doing so are becoming God's special possession? Why don't we stand together? I'd love to pray for us. So this morning, in a moment, we're going to worship. And I want to encourage us to be free to make our own response to the Lord. In whatever way you see fit, I'm going to be completely unprescriptive this morning. But I'm just going to permission, if you And the prayer team are going to be available over at the side there. If the Holy Spirit's stirring something in you and you want to pray with someone, like, go find the prayer team or ask somebody near you that you trust. Find someone in your life group to pray with. If you feel like you want to take a step, you can move out of your seat in whatever direction you like. You can posture yourself before the Lord in whatever way seems fitting to you in the response of your heart. But first, I want to pray for us, and then I want to encourage us to make our response in the context of worship. Father, this morning, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for everything that you have gifted to us. Thank you for your special place that you've prepared for us. Thank you for your special promises that you've given to us, the special purposes that you've prepared for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you've purchased all of those things for us. And this morning, I make my personal prayer one that says, Jesus, let nothing hold me back. Jesus, let nothing hold me back. Let nothing hold me back from living as a son or a daughter in your family, in your household. Let nothing hold me back from living in a relationship that is defined by the wonder and the greatness of your promises. Let nothing hold me back this morning from living devoted to your heavenly higher purposes for my life. God, help me this morning stir another level of hunger within me for your blessings. Give me a bigger yes in my heart. And help me, like Jacob, to declare that you will be my God. Because I choose today, maybe for the first time, maybe some of us for the 100th time, I choose again to step into being your special possession. I choose to step into a new level of living like your special possession. And I'm asking you, by your Spirit, to help me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.